This meeting ended with a strong condemnation of Russia for its continuing war in Ukraine, reaffirming the G7's commitment to sanctions and stopping Moscow getting weapons from third countries. With the G7 nations accounting for much of the heavy weaponry now being prepared for the long-anticipated counter-offensive against Russian forces, this was a message of unity.
Now, as Ukraine prepares to launch a counter-offensive, to take back its land, to liberate its people and occupied territories, to stop the missiles, bombs, and drones which continue to rain down on its civilians, we stand with Ukraine.
The foreign ministers also called for greater action to counter the growing influence and power of China in the Indo-Pacific, with a strong message of support for Taiwan, which China sees as a breakaway territory and that it's threatened to take by force if necessary. As the only Asian G7 nation, the host, Japan, fears if Russia can act with impunity in Europe, China can do the same here.
The security of Europe and the security of the Indo-Pacific are inseparable, and I have a sense that Ukraine's crisis could be East Asia's tomorrow.
Japan has also been promoting nuclear disarmament at this meeting, hoping to advance its non-proliferation goals when it hosts G7 leaders at their summit in Hiroshima next month, the location of the world's first atomic attack.
It may seem fanciful at a time of growing international crises even to expect nations to consider disarmament, but according to the Japanese hosts, it is precisely because of the escalating conflicts that the existence of large nuclear stockpiles so imperils the world, and there's never been a more important time to give up those weapons. Rob McBride, Al Jazeera, Karo Wizawa, Japan.